chose today, number 2 in the R1 book.
Oh,
concerned about it and because it affects us to a degree, but we don't have to focus on it. All right, not much going on as far as announcements. I had a great day yesterday. I'm guessing some of us are still a little worn out from all the seminar. But it was a great time, blessed time, and good fellowship, good challenge from the Word, and good food as always. So we have some great cooks that come here to our church, so that's it's a blessing. Not sure when we'll have another one, but hope next time there'll be more people there. It was a good time. There were plenty there yesterday, but it would be better if we had more. So, all right. Just one schedule change as far as our services go. Brother Prue is scheduled for this coming Wednesday, but he had a conflict and he won't be able to come until the following Wednesday, the 28th. So Brother Sam will be taking charge this Wednesday night. So hope you'll come at 7, be here, we'll have a great time studying the Word. So I think that's all the announcements that I'm aware of. These pictures from Pastor Reddy and the baptismal pool that we helped him purchase are still here on the organ. If you haven't seen them, you can come look at them after the service. So, and then one brief announcement about Scripture Memory Verse. We're still studying Mark 12 for this week. If you would like to look ahead, studying this coming Sunday, we'll be studying the book of Jude, verse 21. So if you'd like to look at that, take the time. Yes, Sam?
There are 15 new pictures up there.
Okay.
They're up. It's the whole thing is completed. It's all fixed up nice, and so there's two stacks of pictures. One is 20 pictures of when they got the whole thing started with a pile of bricks, and then the other ones that he just sent us, which shows the completed baptismal pool.
Okay. Well, then we should all be looking at it then, since there are new pictures. Thank you, Seth. Appreciate it. All right. At this time, we'll have a special from the Hitchens.
I brought some brochures. For our camp meeting down in Elkton, Maryland, which is going to be September the 9th through the 13th. Across from our church, we have a campground and an open-air tabernacle. And we've been having camp meetings ever since 1971, I believe. We used to have two of them a year. We used to have one in July and one in August, a week each. But the last few years, we've been having just one, and usually in September. It seems to be, you know, usually a little bit cooler maybe in September. And so that's what we've been doing the last few years. And so this year, the 9th through the 13th, and the evangelist is Jason
McNeese.
He's pastor of Emerton Baptist Church in Bel Air, Maryland. And he'll do a great job. Of course, he'll be singing. I know that the first two nights, there's the Thren family. They're from Canada. Several, the father and mother and several children, they all, just about all of them, play instruments. And we've had them there before. They're really good. So they're going to be there Monday and Tuesday night. And then Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday night, our trio, the Old Country Church trio, is supposed to be singing. Hopefully, maybe if Jason's able to get down, he might be doing a little singing too, possibly.
Yeah.
Anyhow, Monday through Friday, September 9th through the 13th, and the brochures are on the back table there. And be glad to have anybody come down. It's about 2 hours. It takes about 2 hours. If you want to stay over, there's several different motels, you know, in the area. And so I'd be glad to have you come and visit. Last time we brought some of our new CDs. They brought some again on the table in the back. There are 9 original songs on there, and then there are 3 others that are in public domain. This is one of those songs. It's an old song, actually. entitled "I Don't Want to Get Adjusted to This World." It goes right along with Scripture. It says, "Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him." So I don't want to get adjusted to this world.
Very much. That's always a blessing when they sing together. Let's take our 101 books just again, and let's sing number 81. We liked this yesterday. We're going to sing it again. the unclouded day.
Thank you.
Everyone here today. Good to be in God's house. Great to be saved today. Greatest thing in all the world. Amen. Amen. If you have your Bibles this morning, turn with me to the book of Leviticus, chapter number 14. If I was to ask for a show of hands, how many people would say Leviticus is your favorite book? I doubt there would be any hands raised, but it's all God's Word. And even though, you know, we all have our favorite portions, don't we? Nothing wrong with that. But just remember, it's all God's Word, isn't it? From Genesis to Revelation. All the these and thous, all the begots, all the places where the names are, a lot of those hard to pronounce names, right? But it's all God's Word, all inspired of God. And so Leviticus chapter number 14, now I want us to begin to read at verse 13. By the way, Leviticus 14 is a chapter dealing with healing from leprosy. That's what this chapter is about. Instructions for the priest, you know, how when somebody approaches them that has leprosy, how to deal with that, how to pronounce them, you know, either clean or unclean. And so beginning to read at verse number 13, this is Leviticus 14, verse 13. It says, "And he shall slay the lamb in the place where he shall kill the sin offering and the burnt offering in the holy place. For as the sin offering is the priest, so is the trespass offering. It is most holy. And the priest shall take some of the blood of the trespass offering, and the priest shall put it upon the tip of the right ear of him that is to be cleansed, and upon the thumb of his right hand, and upon the great toe of his right foot. And the priest shall take some of the log of oil and pour it into the palm of his own left hand. And the priest shall dip his right finger in the oil that is in his left hand, and shall sprinkle of the oil with his finger seven times before the Lord. And of the rest of the oil that is in his hand, shall the priest put upon the tip of the right ear of him that's to be cleansed, and upon the thumb of his right hand, and upon the great toe of his right foot, upon the blood of the trespass offering. Let's bow for the word of prayer. Heavenly Father, again, thank you for the privilege to be here in the house of God today. Thank you for this day that you've given us, Lord. It's a day that you've made. We'll rejoice and be glad in it. Thank you for the Sunday school hour. And thank you now for this time to be back in the morning service. Thank you for the songs. Been a blessing to our hearts. Fellowship we've had thus far. And now again for this time to look into your word. And as we consider the word today, I pray that you'd speak to our hearts. Pray that you'd have your way in our hearts and lives. Pray if there'd been in our midst who have never been saved, today might be that wonderful day that they would say yes to Jesus and know the thrill of salvation. Do a work in our hearts as Christians. And for what you do, we'll thank you and praise you now in Jesus' matchless name. For sake we ask it. Amen. Leprosy in the Bible, you know, for the most part, basically was a death sentence. And it was one of those things feared, you know, in the Old Testament. We find it, you know, throughout the Old Testament, find it throughout the New Testament. Jesus, of course, encountered lepers and healed lepers. And some things about leprosy that I think have an application to us today. You know, leprosy really is a type of sin. It's exactly what it is, a type of sin in the Bible. And a number of things about it. First of all, leprosy had an insignificant beginning. It started off very small, very hard to detect. That's the way sin is, isn't it? It can start off as a very small thing, very insignificant thing. And we have that old nature that we were born with, a nature which the Bible tells us is rotten to the core. And we're tempted to sin. And regardless of how long we've been saved, we never get to the place in this life where we are sinless, do we? Now, we ought to get to the place where we sin less, right? We should get to the place where we sin less, but in this life, we're never going to be sinless. Now, one day we're going to be sinless, amen? One day we're going to get a glorified body, and we will be sinless at that time in the Lord's presence. Until that time, we've got an old nature and a body of corruption to deal with. And so we're tempted to sin. Sin creeps in, and it can start off as a very small thing. You know, something that we tolerate in our life. And we tolerate it, and then maybe we get to the place where we like it. And it gets a stronger hold on us. And then it maybe gets to the place where we don't want to get rid of it. It's kind of like that lady I heard about that sang in our choir years ago at our church. And she stopped singing in the choir. And so our pastor questioned her about that. How come you don't sing in the choir anymore? And she said, I got sin in my life. And he said, well, why don't you deal with it? And she said, I don't want to. Well, see, that's what happens. Sin creeps in, and if we're not careful, we get to the place where we don't want to deal with it, and it gets a bigger hold on us. And make no mistake about it, you give the devil an inch, he's going to do what? Take a mile. We're told not to give place to the devil. But leprosy has an insignificant beginning, so does sin. It starts off very small. And, you know, we can get to the place where we think, well, you know, I can handle it. Not really so bad. That's just a little thing. It's not bad. Oh, yeah. Little things. Little spiders. Right? Little spiders, little snakes. Yeah, little things can be deadly, can't they? So, It has an insignificant beginning. That's the way sin is. But then, if we tolerate it, it can take control of our lives, can't it? You know, there are people whose lives have been destroyed by sin. Christians I'm talking about now. Lives have been destroyed by sin. And I guarantee you, they would tell you, well, I never thought that would happen. I never thought that would happen. Oh, I know. Fellow, I remember that used to be very faithful in our church, and he got out of sorts. I won't tell you the details, but his life was an absolute mess. And I remember talking to him, and I remember him saying this. He said, I just wish I could turn the clock back 20 years. Well, man, can't do that, can you? And so that insignificant thing that we allow in our lives can grow, and if we're not careful, destroy us. Now, if we're saved, you can't lose your salvation, but you can sure mess your life up, can't you? And so leprosy has an insignificant beginning, so does sin. It can be inherited. Leprosy can be inherited. Yeah, it can be inherited. And by the way, sin's inherited too, isn't it? We've got that old sin nature that came from our forefather Adam. And it gets passed on to our kids too, right? So it can be inherited. A third thing, it works imperceptibly. In other words, it's working and you may not even realize it. That's the way leprosy is. Of course, there are things with us too, diseases that we can have and not even realize it, right? And sin works that way. Again, things that we won't deal with, they crop up. Things that we know are wrong, but we won't deal with. And it begins to get a hold in our lives, doesn't it? Leprosy spreads rapidly. Spreads rapidly. Sin spreads rapidly, too. Spreads rapidly in our lives. It could spread rapidly in the church, can't it? You know, the Apostle Paul, writing to the Corinthian church, he had a lot of things to say about almost every chapter in 1 Corinthians has a sin problem that church had. And it spreads, doesn't it? Leprosy is highly infectious at a certain point. Now, it does get to a point where it's not, but as it begins, it can be highly infectious. Sin spreads too. Leprosy is a loathsome disease. Your fingers can drop off because it destroys the nerves. Your fingers can drop off. Your nose comes off. Your ears. I mean, it's a disfiguring disease. You know, there is a disease that we call leprosy today. In fact, I'm not sure about this, but there was one leper colony in the United States in Louisiana. I don't know if that's still true or not, but years ago they had one there. So it is something still around. But here's the question. We don't know if what we call leprosy today is what leprosy was in the Bible. They may not have been the same thing. We don't know. But the leprosy that was in the Bible, all these things we're talking about were true. It was a very loathsome thing. It was considered to be a state of living death because you were cut off, you know, from society. But, you know, in the New Testament, you know, whenever lepers approached clean people, they had to cry out, unclean. They could not come within 50 feet, you know, of people that didn't have it. So it was a state of living death. It was dealt with by banishment. It made its victims objects of shame, and it was incurable by normal means. But we do have this prescription here in Leviticus for cleansing. Whereas a person that had leprosy could come before the priest, and the priest could examine that person and declare them, you know, either still under the spell of leprosy, or that they were actually cleansed at this point. In Leviticus, in the first 16 chapters, what we have there are directions for approaching God, how to approach God in the Old Testament economy. And then the last chapters, chapters 17 through 27, were directions for having fellowship with God. It's basically what is described there. But the cleansing of the leper now in this passage that we read here in chapter 14, you'll notice here down in verse number 14, it says, the priest shall take some of the blood of the trespass offering, and the priest shall put it upon the tip of the right ear of him to be cleansed, and upon the thumb of his right hand, upon the great toe of his right foot. Now, blood, notice, blood was to be placed on the right ear of the leper. Blood, almost everything is purged by blood, isn't it, according to what we're told in Scripture? Leviticus 17:11 says the life of the flesh is in the blood, right? Let's look at that. Leviticus 17 and verse number 11. For the life of the flesh is in the blood. I have given it to you upon the altar to make an atonement for your souls. For it is the blood that maketh an atonement for the soul. It is blood in the Old Testament that was used to purge away sin. By the way, it's still blood in the New Testament. It's the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, the all-sufficient sacrifice for sin forever. John the Baptist, remember when he was baptizing down by the Jordan River and he saw Jesus walking and he said, behold, the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. He didn't say, behold, a Lamb of God. Behold, the Lamb of God. He was the Lamb to end all lambs, wasn't he? I don't know how many lambs were sacrificed in the Old Testament, probably millions of them. But he was the Lamb to end all lambs. And there's no more need for a blood sacrifice because his was the all-sufficient sacrifice for sin forever. But it was blood required for cleansing from sin. And so in that 14th verse there, it says, the priest shall take some of the blood of the trespass offering, and the priest shall put it upon the tip of the right ear of him as to be cleansed. Now, what does that tell me? Blood on the right ear of him to be cleansed. Well, to me, that speaks of being cleansed from what we hear. Being cleansed from what we hear. We walk in a wicked world, don't we? And it's all around us. You know, and I've said this a lot of times, and I know this. I know you know this, but when the Lord saved us, he could have immediately taken us to heaven. He could have done that. But he didn't do that. He left us here in this wicked world. We're not of it. Right? We're not of this world, but we're in it. And not only that, but he sent us forth into it. And like the song said, I don't want to get adjusted to it. Don't want to get adjusted to this world. But we're in it, and it's all around us. And because it's all around us, you can't help but hear some certain things. Right? Swearing. Places you go. My wife and I were in a grocery store been a while back now. And there was, I say a lady, I better say a lady, a female. A female was going through the checkout and it was the express line. And she had quite a few things in her cart. And so the lady at the express line said, you know, you can't do that. You've got too much. Well, this female got very upset about that. And I mean, you could hear her all over the store. I mean, the language she was using, and everybody could hear it. And one of the things that she said in the midst of all this, she made a statement that she was a teacher. I thought, wow, I think I want you to teach my kids. She has a small child with her, by the way, too, when she's venting all this swearing. Well, if you were in the store, you couldn't have helped but hear it, right? And so that's the world that we live in. When I was growing up, we didn't have a TV because TVs were not accessible at that time. We had a floor model radio. And so we listened to radio programs like the Lone Ranger and all kinds of things. The first time I ever saw a TV was, I think, maybe 1949 or 50. One of my classmates invited me over to play at his house, and lo and behold, they had a TV set. Great big deep cabinet on it. Had a little 6-inch screen. And they had a magnifying glass that they put in front of that to make the picture look bigger. Wow. I mean, that's the first time I ever saw one. And back then, and then later, my aunt and uncle got a TV set. And that was about 1950, something like that. But back then, you didn't hear swearing on TV. You didn't. This wasn't done. But today, you can hear just about anything. And if we're not careful, we get used to those things, don't we? Well, this right ear having blood placed upon it, I think, symbolizing cleansing from what we hear. We need to be cleansed from what we hear. Swearing. How about this? How about cleansing from slander? Say, do Christians do that? Oh, yeah, Christians do that. Not just unsaved people. And some things we ought not to repeat, should we? Need to be cleansed from those things. How about this? Cleansing from suggestiveness. I hate to say this, but over the years, I've heard preachers tell jokes that were not really clean jokes. Preachers. And Christians sometimes tell dirty jokes. Ought not to be the case, should it? And we need to have our ears cleansed. That blood on the right ear speaks of cleansing from what we hear. Swearing, slander, suggestiveness. Even from singing. I mean, there are songs out there. Some of the words. Sometimes you hear a car with their radio turned up. And some of the language this day and time. Need to be cleansed from it, don't you? Well, Blood placed on the right ear, symbolizing cleansing from what we hear. But then notice it goes on, verse 14. It says, and the priest shall put it upon the tip of the right ear of him that's to be cleansed, and upon the thumb of his right hand. He is to put blood on the thumb of his right hand. Now, what's that symbolize? Symbolizing cleansing from what we touch. Cleansing from what we touch. Probably nobody here has this problem. I hope that's not the case. But in this day and time, there are Christians. Some Christians don't have a problem with alcohol. Sad to say. A number of years ago, I was asked to preach up in York, Pennsylvania. It's been a long time ago now. I don't even remember the church. But I was told that because the pastor was away, and I was told, well, there's a young couple in the church. They're going to take you out for dinner after the service. Okay. So we went out for dinner, and these folks were young. They hadn't been saved too long. And so this fellow asked, he said, I want to ask you a question. He said, you know, a lot of times on Saturday night, you know, my wife and I put the kids to bed early. We'll kind of have maybe a little romantic evening. We'll get a nice bottle of wine. And have some wine. What do you think about that? Well, you know, when folks ask you, when they ask you questions like that, they probably already know the answer, don't they? And so I tried to very tactfully, and they were young, like I say, they hadn't been saved too long. You can understand maybe something like that. So I tried to very tactfully, you know, explain to them that, you know, the Bible doesn't endorse the use of alcohol as a beverage. In fact, as far as I'm concerned, it teaches total abstinence. I've got a list of 60-some Bible verses that condemn the use of alcohol as a beverage. Now, it doesn't make sense that God is going to condemn it. Turn around and, you know, some people say, well, Jesus made wine. Well, it wasn't fermented. God's not going to condemn it in 64 verses and turn around and make it, right? But it's not an unusual thing this day and time for Christians to drink alcohol. That ought not to be the case, should it? Cleansing from what we touch. Alcohol. How about drugs? Cleansing from that. Big problem this day and time, isn't it? And it's everywhere. And just because you're a Christian doesn't make you immune, does it? But it can ruin your life. Tobacco. When I was growing up, I remember these commercials. 9 out of 10 doctors endorse Campbell's or Lucky Strike or whatever. Right? Advertised on TV, advertised in the magazines. And lots of folks smoked back then. My wife and I smoked before we got saved. Tried to quit a number of times before I got saved, and I never could. But after I got saved, God got on my case about that. Cleansing from those things we touch. Pornography, $2 billion a year industry. It is a big thing. And it's available, isn't it? It's all over the internet. Say, Christians don't get involved in that, do they? Don't they? Oh, yes, they do. Like any other sin, you can get snared, can't you? Gambling. You know, I've had folks say, Well, we like to go to the casino because they have a nice buffet there. It's cheap. Yeah, I imagine so. But I'm not going. This country has gone gambling crazy, hasn't it? I'm not buying lottery tickets. Heard about one church, and then somebody had won the lottery in the church. I don't know what kind of church it was. Somebody had won the lottery, and they were going to tithe on that money. It was a lot of money. And guess what? The pastor and deacon said, "We're not taking it." Bless their hearts for refusing that. Probably a lot of churches might have taken it. Well, blood was placed on the right thumb of the leper, symbolizing cleansing from what we touch. A lot of other things, right? Then notice this as it goes on here. It says, "And priest shall put it upon the tip of the right ear of him as to be cleansed, upon the thumb of his right hand, and upon the great toe of his right foot." That has to do with cleansing from where we go. Cleansing from where we go. There may be some places that we go where we need to be cleansed. Compromising situations. Have you ever been invited to something that you had to turn down because of what the situation was like? Yeah, I had to do that. Appreciate the invitation, but no, can't come. Not going to a dance. I think it was John Wesley that said, "Praying knees and dancing feet don't grow on the same leg." Not going to the dance. Not going to the casino. Not going to the lodge. I don't go to liberal churches. In fact, somebody's a member of a liberal church, I don't have a problem inviting them to leave. Now, if it's a good, solid Bible-believing church, that's a different story. But a liberal church, hey, leave it. Find one that honors this book, right? Takes a stand on the truth of God's word. Cleansing from places where we shouldn't be. And you know, standards have changed. The school my wife and I attended for Bible college, it used to take a good stand years ago, but unfortunately it's not the case now. And I remember we were up there visiting, and there was a lady that was had been on the staff, but she was retired now. But I remember she said this, and I thought this was telling. She said, "I don't quite understand how something was sin 30 years ago isn't sin now." I thought, boy, how true that is. If it was sin 30 years ago, it's still sin, isn't it? But unfortunately, folks have changed. God's word hadn't changed. He hadn't changed. Standards haven't changed, but folks have changed. And unfortunately, there are Christians who maybe do things today they wouldn't have done 30 years ago, or went places they wouldn't have gone 30 years ago. Well, so there's cleansing from what we hear. That's blood on the right ear. Cleansing from what we touch. That's blood on the thumb. And then cleansing from where we go. That's blood on the right toe. So that's the cleansing. But now notice the next part. This is the anointing of the leper. Look at verse 15. It says, "And the priest shall take some of the log of oil and pour it into the palm of his own left hand. And the priest shall dip his right finger in the oil that's in his left hand and shall sprinkle of the oil with his fingers seven times before the Lord." 17. "And the rest of the oil that's in his hand shall the priest put upon the tip of the right ear of him that is to be cleansed." Now, here's something to notice here. Oil was placed on top of the blood on the right ear. symbolizing the Holy Spirit. Oil is a type of the Holy Spirit, isn't it? Oil is a type of the Holy Spirit. And so notice that where the blood cleanses, the Spirit can anoint and control. Where the blood cleanses, the Spirit can anoint and control. Okay? So, here's the man. He's got blood placed on his right ear. That's the cleansing part. And then there's oil placed on top of that, symbolizing the Holy Spirit. So what the blood cleanses, the Spirit can anoint and control. So in other words, instead of swearing, instead of slander, instead of suggestion and all those things, we can listen to praise. Amen? Praising God. So much in the Bible about praising God, right? Praise ye the Lord. Psalm 150, all the way through it, praising the Lord. We need to do more of that, don't we? He's worthy, right? He is worthy of our praise. And because we've been cleansed, because we've been anointed, we can praise him. Listen to praising. Listen to encouragement. Listening to sound Bible doctrine. Scriptural singing. Christianity, and I hate to use the term religion, but Christianity is a singing religion, isn't it? I've never heard any Muslim gospel songs, have you? They don't have any. But God's people are singing people. And it's because of the joy of the Lord in our hearts. So because the ear has been cleansed and the ear has been anointed, we can listen to praise, encouragement, sound doctrine, scriptural singing. Now notice the next part. Oil was placed on the right ear of him as to be cleansed, and also upon the thumb of his right hand. So again, where the blood cleansed, oil anointed. Symbolizing again the Holy Spirit controlling what we touch. So instead of handling the wrong things, we can handle the right things. Our Bibles, good solid Christian literature. There are plenty of things that we can touch that are not sinful, right? Plenty of things. And so what the blood cleansed, the Spirit can anoint and control. And then notice the next thing here. Oil was placed on top of the blood on the right toe, symbolizing the Holy Spirit controlling where we go. Controlling where we go. Instead of worldly places, instead of places that would displease God, we can go to the right places, can't we? You know, sometimes people get the idea that Bible separation is all negative. Can't do this, can't do that, can't do the other. But in reality, it's positive. It's because we love the Lord and we want to please Him that we don't do certain things. It's all positive. Look at 1 Thessalonians, I believe it is. 1 Thessalonians. Yeah, 1 Thessalonians, the Apostle Paul, as he's writing here, he talks about the people and their response there at Thessalonica, their response to the gospel. And look at verse number 9. This is 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 9. It says, "For they themselves show of us what manner of entering in we had unto you." Notice this now. "And how you turned to God from idols." to serve the living and true God. Notice how that's worded. You turn to God from idols. Notice it's positive first. Positive what you turn to God. Because you turn to God, you turn from the idols, right? Because we turn to God, we quit doing some things, right? Or because we turn to God, there's some things that we don't touch anymore. Things we don't do anymore. And by the way, when we get saved, things do change, don't they? If any man be in Christ, he is what? A new creature. Old things pass away, behold, all things become new. And he changes your wants. He changes your wants, doesn't he? I don't want to do those things I did before I got saved. But everything I hold dear is out in the future. And so, beautiful picture here in this cleansing of the leper. The blood placed on the right ear cleanses from what we hear. The blood on the thumb cleanses from what we touch. Blood on the right toe cleanses from where we go. And then once it's been cleansed, oil is placed on top of the blood. So where the blood cleanses, the oil can anoint and control. And everything changes in our life. And so some beautiful pictures here from the cleansing of the leper. So may the Lord add his blessing to his word today. And let's bow for prayer. And just before we pray, again, maybe God has spoken to your heart about a need. And you say, Brother Bob, I'm a Christian, but I have a need in my life. God knows what it is, right? He knows exactly what our needs are. And he knows exactly how to deal with them. So if that's true, you say, I do have a need and I wish you'd pray for me. Someone today? Thank you. Yes, I see it at hand. Yes, someone else. I'm a Christian, but I have a need. God knows what it is, but I wish you'd pray about it. Yes, thank you. Yes. I have a need. I'm a Christian, but I need prayer about something. Someone else. Yes, thank you. Anyone else today? Heavenly Father, thank you for your word today. Thank you for the Holy Spirit who takes it and applies it to our hearts. Lord, thank you for these Old Testament examples of how the blood cleanses, and then where the blood has cleansed, the Holy Spirit can anoint and use us. So, Lord, I pray that you would help us today. I pray for these who raised their hand. You know what their needs are. Again, you know exactly how to meet those needs. So I pray that you'd bless now, bless now and have your way in this invitation. And we commit ourselves now to your watch care. In Jesus' wonderful name, for his sake, we ask it. Amen.
Let's take our books and turn to, 168. It's the hymn book, 168.
I see, I see, I love you, I love you. to close in word of prayer. Father, again, we thank you for the opportunity we've had to be here. We pray that as you have cleansed us with your shed blood, may we more and more demonstrate the changes that you have made in our hearts and lives. And we pray that your Spirit will keep working on us to make us more and more like the Lord Jesus. And we know that we will never completely live as we ought until the end of this life. But we also know that your grace is sufficient to help us in our time of need. We do not have to yield to the temptation. Your word makes it clear that there is a way to escape, that we may be able to bear it. And we pray that when that time comes, that your word will be in our hearts. And as the Lord Jesus did, use your word to combat the temptations of the devil. We pray that we will follow that example and do as the Lord Jesus did there. This is now your blessing, and we pray that we would have safe ease of travel to our destinations, and may we be back at the next appointed time as you tarry.
In Jesus' name, amen.